This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hour three here of Draft Mashup. Steve Geller, Mark Menard, Christian Garrick here with you. Our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text lines are open at 504-260-1870. Recapping the Saints 2021 six-member draft class. Also, we're going to get into some of the undrafted players that have agreed to terms and signed with the Saints. A texter here, and you guys can weigh in on this. Did the Saints draft Werner because they are no longer high on Zach Bond? Bond didn't get much on the field very much last year. I'll give you my answer, but I want to start with Mark. Go ahead, Mark.
I don't think it's that they weren't high, they're no longer high on Zach Bond. I think they don't have enough linebackers. I think that could be the simplest reason. Is you take a look at, you know, what they have on the roster. They have DeMario Davis, and then who else? You know, they have Zach Bond, but you know they don't have Alex Anzalone anymore, even in a backup role. He's moved on to a different team, and they need to restock that position. And yeah, I think there's still lots of time for Zach Bond to pan out. You know, we usually say you don't judge a draft pick until year three. He's only heading into year two. So he's got another couple years here to try to make his name with this team. And there's still going to be a lot of opportunity for him, but I think they need guys.
Yeah, I know Bond was brought in more as a guy that's going to get to the quarterback and pressure the passer more. And I think that Werner is a bit of a different type of cat you're going to have in there. That's more you're going to be dealing with coverages and dropping back more than a guy like Bourne will be. To me, he was more of that kind of addition to the edge, you know, a guy that's going to get after the quarterback. And I know working on his coverage ability was something that they wanted to do. But I have concerns with him just because the defensive snaps were just way too limited for me last year, especially when you had issues when Aquan Alexander went down and they really needed somebody and still wasn't ready to contribute on defensive snaps. And just being around for the special teams wasn't up to my par, at least for a third-round draft pick. So I definitely need to see more from Bourne this season.
I don't think that Werner was picked because they're down on Zach Bond. I think, as Mark illustrated, they've got to restock that position group in general. They don't have Craig Robertson. They lost Alex Anzalone. Quan Alexander went down to an injury. They might, and I expect them to eventually bring him back at
right.
The right.
Hopefully
price
he is able to
if he's healthy.
He was different on this team.
But I'll tell you this about Zach Bond.
Of all the guys they released, he's the one I hope they bring back.
You talking about Quan?
Yeah, Quan.
I absolutely think that's a real possibility. I'll tell you this about Zach Bond. Was he better than Alex Anzalone?
No. Right.
He was not. Was he more experienced than Alex Anzalone?
No,
he was not. Then a guy named Quan Alexander came into the building. He's better than Anzalone and Bond. That's why you didn't see him. And they don't play a whole lot of base defense these days because of the NFL and the way it's constructed. So you're going to have two linebackers on the field. Who's your best two linebackers in that scenario? Quan Alexander, DeMario Davis. That's why you didn't see Zach Bond too much defensively. And I think they had an effective enough pass rush with guys that they had on their defensive line and the way they schemed up some blitzes from their linebackers already.
Not only are they the best two, but we saw how well they worked together.
Mm-hmm.
That was a relationship that developed really quickly for the Saints, and it was very productive. And so if Quan Alexander can get back from the injury, I think you see him back in the lineup as your other starting linebacker. But, of course, not even currently on the team. That's a big if.
Another text here says, the only thing that puzzles me a bit with Kawan is not Kwon Alexander, the seventh round pick out of the wide receiver out of South Alabama. He says, in Dettillier's draft book, he wasn't even listed. And I realize Mike can't list everyone. Kind of interesting at the same time that he gets on a radar. Well, again, I talked about this earlier. These NFL teams, all of them have things at their disposal that mock draft experts don't. And that is 50 people that can go out and scour the country.
Yeah, there's no
There was only 259 players selected over 3 days. 259. The population in this country is 327-ish million, right? So it just goes to show you that the resources they have, they can reach every. They're going to find you. Look at the Saints 2 years ago, the kick return, Devontae.
Deontay Harris.
Deontay Harris, excuse me. Assumption College. So they got, just because some of these draft analysts don't have them in their publication, doesn't mean they're not worthy of a draft pick.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Look at you, everyone, when you do fantasy football drafts, everyone's cheat sheets, whatever you have going into it. Everyone's got a different, you know, set of your top players. Right? There's a general list of guys, but everyone values different guys differently, obviously. Each player has a different value, and I just think this team has done, we've seen this the track record over the years that they've had success with. I can't give any full judgment on this draft until at least get a week into training camp to see some of these guys and their abilities on the field. And then you get a little bit more of a gauge on how they will fit in. And Sean Payton even talked about how this draft, everyone's a prototypical player that they went after in this draft, which I thought was interesting.
With rookies, it takes about eight games. I want to see them play eight full games before I can arrive at any close to real conclusion. I'm sorry, Steve. I mean this in total respect. A weekend to training camp, I still don't know what I'm looking at. I just don't. You might.
I feel like I have at least a general an idea. Now I don't.
Right. That's fair. That's But what I'm saying is for me, I want to see him play eight games in a regular season before I can really begin to say, yeah, that was a good pick or wasn't a good pick. And really, when it's a rookie, you probably need to see him a year or two. One other thing with Patrick Turner that I didn't talk about.
Peyton Turner?
Yeah, what did I say?
Patrick.
Peyton Turner. Yeah, excuse me. I've kept Patrick. I've called him Patrick several times, even off the air. He was in the discussions at pick 20 with the Giants. There were discussions about whether the Giants were going to select him. So for those that think it's a big reach, well, how come he was in the discussion at 20 and at 25 and then at 30 and 33? It's not that much of a reach. It's just not. All right, we'll step away and come back. This is Draft Mashup here on Saints Radio WWL. All right, back here on our Draft Mashup, Mark Menard, Steve Geller, Christian Garrick, recapping the Saints 2021 draft. Pete Werner, the Saints second-round pick, stopped by with us, me, Bobby, Deuce, and Mike, once the selection was made here on WWL. Here it is. All right, we got Pete Werner. Werner, the Ohio State linebacker, recently selected by the Saints in the second round, on the line with us right now. And Pete, first off, welcome to the show, but you're going to be on with Saints all-time leading rusher Deuce McAllister, the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert, who led the Saints to their first ever playoff berth, and NFL draft analyst Mike Dettillier. My name is Christian Garrick, and Pete, congratulations.
Thank you guys so much. It's an honor to be on this call.
How much conversation did you have with the Saints prior to the draft?
You know, not as much as you would think. I mean, you talk about some of these guys will call you four or five times, and you're like automatically said, okay, I'm going here. But I talked to the Saints one time, and then all of a sudden I'm a Saint now. It's a great feeling now, but you never know on draft day where you're going to end up as you talk to so many people, but I just feel great now.
Pete, Deuce McAllister here, and first of all, just congratulations to you, but you know, just tell us a little bit about your game, what you feel like your strengths are as far as things that you can bring to the table.
Right, so the biggest thing right here is that versatility piece. You talk about a guy that can fit in an A or B gap as well as lock down and play great in coverage. That versatility aspect is kind of the pride where I put myself on, which is how I play. The second thing is being a great tackler, especially in the open field. Tackling was something that I really helped our team. And then being an effort guy, finishing sideline to sideline, always finishing at the ball. Those three things, I think, is the biggest thing about my game.
Now, you know, Pete, Bobby Hebert here, talking about skills, because that is so important. You can get there, but can you finish the deal? How important that is, and considering when you're coming to an NFL team and you want to just help out whatever you can as far as special teams. I mean, I know as a freshman, you contributed at a high level at Ohio State on special teams unit. Did they even bring that up to you? Or I know that's a big part of your game also, considering when you look at active day roster as far as whether it's punt coverage, kickoff coverage, or whatever they ask you to do.
Yeah, so special teams are obviously going to be on high priority for any rookie coming into the NFL. And me in particular, that's something that I've talked to them about. That's something that I'm going to take part in. And having so much history my freshman year and even a few games through my sophomore and senior year, I had a lot of film on special teams. So I really think I'm going to be an asset in that piece for the Saints.
Pete, Mike Dettillier, one of the things I've seen improvement in your game, and man, you got to have it today in the NFL, is in the coverage part of the game, in reverse. Was that a big part of the offseason in working with you in the coverage part of the game? Because, man, you see today, you sort of run out of downs if you can't play the pass. But you're a three-down linebacker. It's something I wrote in my book. You're a guy that you don't have to take off the field. And you've played, you know, multiple positions at linebacker. But the coverage part of the game today, to me, is so important with nickel, dime sets, everything else, where you got to be in there and you got to be able to cover that running back or tight end.
Yes, you do. And this is obviously something I work on in the offseason. I mean, if you see a typical NFL linebacker in the league nowadays, if he can't cover, he's not going to be in the game. So everybody's got to be able to cover, have that versatility piece. So obviously, yes, I'm going to work on that in the off season, but having the strength to cover as well as fit and fit up on a run is such a big piece.
Now, Pete, well, you got to be proud of this and your whole family. I know they're proud of you. Well, you look at your older brother when he played football at Harvard. So, there ain't too many dummies there. And I'm looking at your father also. He played in the NFL for the Jets and the Eagles. Boy, he had to be proud of where you're at right now in this opportunity.
You know, I have such a great family, so much support through my parents, brothers and sister. I mean, I'm so thankful to how I grew up and having some smart guys in the family. I mean, you talk about my dad, my biggest mentor. I go to him for almost everything. And my brothers, my best friends. There's no dumb guys in the family, so that's awesome. He went to Harvard, which is pretty cool. He was a tight end, but a very athletic family, a lot of sports in this family, but so much support around. I can't thank them enough.
Pete Werner, Ohio State linebacker, now New Orleans Saints linebacker, picked in the second round by the Black and Gold. Pete, what do you know about New Orleans?
I know it's a team with a lot of history, a lot of Buckeyes end up at this yep. place. I mean, you think yep. about it, that's kind of that capital for the Buckeyes here. Just a team with the fans love the team. New Orleans is such a great place. I remember playing back in the Sugar Bowl against Clemson this past year. But just a great place. I'm so thankful for right now being a part of such a great team.
And you know what, Pete? I'm glad you brought that up, because the Ohio State alumni base, they meet at Mid-City Yacht Club. No, they watch all Ohio State. Yes, they watch all Ohio State games. So I'm sure they'll probably invite you definitely to come to Mid-City Yacht Club. I don't know why it's a yacht club, because it's not near water, but it's in Mid-City. But
the name sounds good.
Yes, it's Mid-City Yacht Club. But I'm telling you, the Ohio State fans, they are celebrating tonight that the Saints have picked you.
Pete, one of the tough things last fall was dealing with the COVID issues, and then at first Big Ten opting out, weren't going to play, and then all of a sudden. So what was kind of your mindset with that? Because at first it didn't look like you were going to play any football, and then all of a sudden you guys get affected by teams opting out, not being able to play because of the COVID issues. How did you handle that personally?
Yeah, so it took a lot of leadership by a lot of guys on Ohio State's program, the players, the coaches. I mean, you talk about a bunch of seniors going in for their last year, having it taken away from them at one point, having the season canceled. And there was a lot of emotion during those times, but the guys stuck with it. And so much leadership was involved to bring these guys back together. Practices started back up again. And there was one point when We knew the season was back on. We were ready to go just because we've been through so much this past year that nothing was going to get in the way of what we wanted to do.
Pete Werner, Saints linebacker, congratulations once again, Pete. Do you know how Saints fans greet each other?
No, I don't. I do not.
Well, come on, Pete, and you got to bring it. Don't come half-stepping. You can't be weak. You got to give a strong, like, who dat? Come on, come on, come on, Pete. Don't want to give me a who dat now.
Who dat?
There you go.
Oh, yeah, that was good. That was good.
There we go. Let's go. We got to bring the energy. Come on,
hey, Pete, that's how you greet instead of good morning or bonjour and all that stuff. You just say, just meet someone that you recognize, who dat, and they'll tell you who dat, and go about your business.
Got it. Well, I learned it here first, so I'll continue to do that.
You better not listen too much, Dave, man. You'll be learning stuff you really don't want to repeat.
All right, Pete.
Another word of wisdom, though. Look up how to spell Chapatulis. It's interesting. All right. Pete Werner, Saints linebacker, thanks so much for the time. Congratulations, and go enjoy this night with your family.
Awesome. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Saints second-round pick, Pete Werner. And I said earlier in the show that just because of the exercise that we were doing, that wasn't my most favorite selection.
Oh, Christian said he's a bust.
Right. But if there's a theme that you go with here, you listen to all these guys in their interviews, they're very well spoken. He's a high energy guy. You can tell that. Let's get the energy going. They're gonna be where they need to be.
A lot of self-motivated guys, obviously you need that.
But yeah, and Sean Payton described the class as smart, and you can tell that. It's obvious when they interview, they're highly intelligent. And look, I understand that playing football matters the most, what they can do on the football field. But if you get a good football player and that's intelligent, man, that's a good combo.
Well, and smarts can sometimes mask a little bit of a talent deficiency. Whereas if it's all talent and you get beat because you don't know where you're supposed to be, that's a much bigger problem.
Will Sean ever tell us, well, he's not too bright, but he's got a hell of a lot of talent?
No, and just like let's be honest, every general manager and head coach that spoke over the last 3 days is, we got our guy.
Right.
They're not going to say, man, I completely whiffed on that one. That's the player I didn't want to draft.
We thought we had our guy, but then we settled on this.
Yeah, you're never going to hear that. So
hope springs eternal.
Just
the
like
morning
also,
after the draft.
Just also like when we get the reports, so and so had successful surgery.
Right. Of course.
Is there ever unsuccessful?
They're not going to tell you that we botched the surgery. Yeah, I screwed it all up. But
I think I left my watch in there.
Yeah, let's hope not. Phone lines are open. Our Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text lines are open at 504-260-187. We're going to break a little early. We'll get into the undrafted free agents that have signed with the Saints. That's next here on Saints Radio, WWL. Mark Menard, Steve Geller, Christian Garrick, David Potter at Master Control. The Saints undrafted free agent signings are out. Steve, let's run down the list and talk about the players.
Yeah, two guys from Syracuse, one at corner, a Trillion Williams, nicknamed Trill. I love that already. Also the punter from the Orange, Nolan Cooney. Iowa State tight end.
Let's stop at Nolan Cooney. Blake Gilliquin last year was stashed on the practice squad out of Penn State.
Right.
Thomas Morstead no longer with the team. They decided to go different ways. It's not always fun and sexy to talk about a punter competition, but we're going to have that this year.
Yeah, we got a punter the quarterback competition. That hey, we got punter competition too.
Right. And people, some fans might roll their eyes at the punting position, but look at what a weapon Morstead was. How he was able to change the field position, flip the field, pin teams inside the 10-yard line. Last year, I think Fall of Time just caught up with him. His average just dropped a little bit, or quite a bit actually. So I'm fascinated by this because I don't just roll my eyes at the punting position because it can be such a weapon. Thomas Morstead proved that.
I think if you say that you're a Saints fan and you roll your eyes at the punting competition, you need to reevaluate how closely you've been watching the game, because Thomas Morstead has put on a clinic for us for about 13 years. I think he's been in the league, or 12 seasons. And if you didn't recognize how good he was and how important that position was over the last few years, then you need to reevaluate how you watch games and reevaluate your fandom, because he showed Saints fans how important that position is, and there's no excuse for thinking that it's not.
And Father Time, it just shows you obviously how brutal it is, just because how many of these workout videos have we seen Thomas Morstead putting out where the guy is, doing pull-ups with weights strapped to him, and what he's able to lift, and all these other things. And if you know his body broke down, and he also mentioned he had some eyesight issues, mm-hmm. and it's just amazing that it's so unforgiving, and when the body fails you, there's nothing you can do about it.
The thing about Thomas Morstead, I remember in 2009 when they traded up to draft the punter.
What are they doing?
People freaked out, and he turned out to be what a weapon. I mean, that was a weapon and a half. That was a great decision by the Saints to go ahead and do that. And keep in mind, his rookie year, what did he do? He pulled off ambush. Not all that. As you watch that kick and how he made it look like a full swing and kicked it, that wasn't easy. What a weapon he was.
And it's going to be interesting to see as well, you know, how are these – are they going to bring in another – maybe a veteran punter? Because right now you've got two young guys, one who was there last year in Gilliquin, who didn't see much of any action, just, you know, got a taste of what it's like to be a Saint, and now a new undrafted guy coming into to compete. I would imagine there's going to have to be some kind of veteran that you would bring in. You don't think so?
I don't think they're going to bring three punters. I think if they were having OTAs, I'm talking about to camp, they're not going to bring three punters to camp. I think because it's just too valuable, the roster spots.
Well, no one's picked up Morstead. Is there any way, possibility?
I think somebody's going to give him a call in camp.
Right, that veteran's minimum, I don't know how much it would end up costing.
Somebody will call him a week into camp when their punter maybe either gets injured of some kind, or the guys that they have, you know, they want to push a guy that they have on their roster or what have you. I don't see them bringing in a veteran. That would be three punters. I'm talking about for training camp. If there was OTAs or, you know, something like that, I think, okay, fine. Yeah, you evaluate three guys, you have a veteran in there to kind of push these rookies, but I don't see it.
Here's the thing about the punting position. If you hit on a good one when he's young, you've set that up for a good decade plus, because you know, the punters don't take a lot of punishment, and they can just come in and do their job, you know, pretty consistently. And we saw that with Thomas Morstead. When's the last time we even had to talk about evaluating a punter? It was, you know, 2009, 2008. So I'm fully behind, you know, if they think Blake Gilliquin's the guy, he comes in and shows out, sign him. And let's make him the guy, because you can solidify that position for a really long time if you get a guy who's young and can do it consistently.
If you remember, 2 years ago, the season before the pandemic, I can't remember the veteran name they brought in, but they brought in another punter well into camp. I mean, they were testing this out 2 years ago. They were seeing if they needed to perhaps move on from Timo earlier. But go ahead and continue with the list.
Sure. Looking at a tight end out of Iowa State, Dylan Schoner. West Virginia offensive lineman Mike Brown, cornerback Bryce Thompson out of Tennessee, Stevie Scott, Indiana running back.
Stop right there.
Okay,
I think that's a position and a player that could end up making this football team, because what they tried to do with Latavius Murray this offseason,
tried to move on.
To move him,
right?
So if they can find a younger, cheaper version to do the dirty work, the heavy lifting, if you will, in the running game. That's a rookie, they're going to do that. What's his – would it say how his size?
No, I don't have that. Let me see here.
Hold on. I mean, I think that running back position in general is an area that teams are going to – the Saints are going to look at, and an undrafted free agent could very well make this team.
I got him here in Mike's book. He's 6'1¼", 228.
Exactly. Just built just like Latavius.
4'6", 440.
He's not the most fleet of foot. Neither is Latavius Murray. You don't have to be – a 4-4 running back. You don't have to. That's Latavius Murray.
Right.
Right there. The kid that they just signed as an undrafted free agent, that's who that is. That's what they're hoping that they can trust him and he can win a job.
And there's also that kid from Notre Dame they picked up last year still on the roster as well.
Yeah, and look, the other thing is if he can play special teams, Latavius Murray doesn't play special teams. If he can play special teams, he's going to win that job.
You think the number two job? Right out the gate?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He was second team all Big Ten this year.
Yeah.
Coming out of Indiana.
What I'm trying to say is that he'll be in that rotation, number two or number three. But if he can play special teams and he's a good running back that can carry the football, they're going to dress him. I think that it's obvious. They showed you that they want to move on from Latavius Murray. They tried to move him this offseason, unsuccessful in doing so. So what they're going to do is bring in a rookie at a cheaper price. And see if the rookie can beat him out.
But they still have Latavius to use on the roster, though.
No, I think that they would cut him if that running back
shows he can
handle it. They're going to cut Latavius Murray.
Wow, I'm going to remember that one.
Yeah. Okay. Keep continuing.
All right, we got Clemson/Maryland linebacker Shaq Smith, Wisconsin safety Eric Burrell, Washington DT Josiah Bronson, and Truman State cornerback Lawrence Woods.
Look that up. Truman State. When was the last? Give me a famous alum from Truman State or the last football player to play in the NFL from Truman State. I can't recall anybody from Truman State. But that's an example. I just talked about it. They'll find you. I don't even know where Truman State is.
Do you know where it is?
No.
Kirksville, Missouri.
Missouri, okay.
Public four-year college in Kirksville, Missouri.
What's the student body?
5,222.
5,000 kids.
As of 2019.
Okay.
5,222.
Whatever. Fine. 5,000.
Well, from the list I looked at on Pro Football Reference, they've got 9 players that from Truman State, but three starts in
is
the NFL total.
Is there a name on that list that I would recognize, that we would recognize?
Rick Cash?
Nope.
Lenville Elliott?
Nope.
Russell Evans?
Nope.
Tom Jaradine?
Nope.
Larry Jones?
I mean, everybody knows. That's a very common name.
here's another one. Mike Morris?
No.
Leo Petrie?
Nope.
Steve Powell?
Nope.
And not Jackie, but Jack Robinson?
Nope.
All right, I'm scrolling through their notable alumni here on Wikipedia.
This is Truman State.
Truman State.
Okay.
And I'm seeing three names I recognize.
Okay.
Total.
Okay.
And they're all in the athletics. The boxer Ken Norton.
Okay, yeah.
Truman State. Glenn Jacobs, who made his name as Kane, the WWE wrestler.
Okay.
And by the way, he's now the mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee.
All right.
And Greg Williams, Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator.
Greg Williams
with
the Truman State.
There's a connection.
Oh, wow. There's no connection. Truman State, Greg Williams. Wow. Okay. But it just goes to show you that they're going to find you. Is that the end of the list?
Yeah, that was
okay.
There might be more I haven't seen pop up.
What do we notice the theme there, though, in that class? Cornerbacks, a lot of them, right? They're going to throw a lot of that position. I don't think they're necessarily done adding to that position, a veteran or what have you. Our Oakenhart Jeweler talk and text lines are open at 504-260-1870. You know, if Bobby was here right now, he'd be making us declare our dark horse right now.
Oh, you have to pick it. Who's going to – I haven't seen any of the practices, yeah, but Bobby's already like, oh, I know this guy. There's a fit on the roster.
Rest assured on Monday on the second guest show, rest assured with he and Mike, he's going to tell you. He's going to reveal to the audience right then and there who his dark horse is.
But he might have two or three, too, as well.
Yeah.
It could be also.
Yeah.
Just over 27 hours away.
Right. And yeah, he's going to have, I got this one on the offense and this one on defense, but watch this guy on specialty.
Absolutely.
I got three dark horses.
And here's another extra one over here just because.
Yeah, and then he'll start seeing practice, and he'll go, I'm not on that guy no more. He'll go, as long as you settle it in by the first 2 weeks of training camp, and that, you got to lock in on it then. That'll be the conversation we're going
to
be having.
I might be able to pick Bobby's dark horse here with a trillion Trill Williams.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to love that name.
By the nickname, yeah. A trillion. Yeah. What a trillion.
Is there anybody on there with three names?
No, because he definitely, they're
anybody
automatic,
with three names
automatic
is
good player.
Instant Hall of Famer for Bobby.
Stanley Jean Baptiste.
Ooh. All right, we will step away and wrap up our edition of Draft Mashup here on Saints Radio, WWL.
Obviously, we think Peyton is a defensive end that can play on either side. You'd say you do see him with prototype height, weight, and size. He's got good length. We feel like he plays the run and the pass equally well. And so he'd be an end. Pete Warner is someone that we saw position flex with. You know, we'll probably start him out at will. He's someone that can play will to Mike. But certainly a stack linebacker or an inside linebacker. But, you know, we're in so much sub-defense. He will be playing one of those two spots, competing in one of those two spots at either Will or Mike. With Paulson, we see a corner, an outside corner. We'll probably, in the early going here, put him on the left side. Ian Book, certainly at the quarterback position. Landon Young, I think you know, reads very clearly for us as a tackle. So we'll probably work him at right to begin with. He's played left. I think he's smart enough to play both. But that would be our vision with him. And then Kawan Baker, the receiver we took later in the draft, is someone that has position flex relative to, you see him line up in the slot. He's a high IQ player for the receiver position. He's played in multiple positions. You know, we'll probably work him outside to begin with as we start the mini camp.
That was Saints head coach Sean Payton on his first three draft picks. And as you heard there, if there was any wonder about a minicamp.
I was going to say, that was at least a positive,
he's
right?
He's telling you they're holding a minicamp. They may not be doing OTAs, but he just told you that they're going to have a minicamp. And in particular, there wasn't much question in my mind because it's mandatory. It's in the CBA. So middle of June, you'll get to see. We should get to. We hope to see.
Hope to see, right?
These players. I don't know if fans will be able to attend or not.
I would.
In the past, they have. But due to COVID, I don't know.
Maybe the good thing about that is
outdoors.
Right. I was going to say it's outdoors. The fans are never in the indoor facility. Those practices are closed to the public. But with being outdoors again, man, that would be fantastic, especially obviously after the year we had to deal with an empty dome.
Well, and a running theme, if you heard him talking there, all these players is versatility. He's talking about the versatility of all these guys and their intelligence to be able to play multiple positions. That's the name of the game in the NFL now. You got to have guys that can play multiple spots because, of, like you said, we're almost moving to like a positionless NFL, especially on defense, where you got to be able to do a number of different things, and that's the kind of players that they're interested in bringing in.
Here's more from Saints head coach Sean Payton on the possibility of bringing in a veteran corner.
No, listen, he'll compete like all of these guys will, and I wouldn't say we're definitely going to, but I wouldn't also discount that we might look to sign another player. You know, we didn't fill up every spot tonight in free agency with the undrafted player because there's still a grade that we're looking to sign. So we'll have enough. Clearly, we'll have enough, you know, wiggle room as most teams will heading into the spring.
So you're perplexed by the grade.
Well, just grade said that we're looking.
There's
to
a
sign.
Grade we're looking to sign. A free agent grade. He just said I wouldn't discount the idea of bringing in. I wouldn't bank on the idea of bringing in a veteran cornerback. But he just told you there's a grade in free agency of a veteran that he likes.
Sure.
So that's what he's talking about.
But what kind of grade veteran is still available out there that he's looking for? Like a Richard Sherman?
I don't know. He might be anticipating that after the draft, some of these guys get released on other rosters. And he might be anticipating somebody else's roster, a player that's on someone else's roster.
Can come in and fill
right
that.
Right now, yeah, can come in and play that spot. Because a lot of teams, you know, they'll draft, if they draft heavy at a certain position, they'll start letting veterans go. Because it's early, it's still enough time. They're doing that player a favor. Just like in training camp, when a veteran comes in, you don't hold, and he's not making your team, you don't hold him all the way until the first cut. You turn him loose so he at least has an opportunity to go somewhere else. Similar situation. He might be waiting on that. Fascinating to think about. And if you just listen closely enough to Sean Payton, he'll give you some things. He'll tell you some things. You just got to know kind of how to decipher it and what he's telling you.
Yeah, he definitely leaves little clues. He's not going to come out and obviously tell you exactly what they're up to, but he gives you a pretty good outline diagram, whatever you want to call it, of what the Saints are interested in or what they're going to do. It's just for you, I guess, to play like a little blues clues and decipher things.
Now, the grade very well could be there might be an undrafted player, too, that they like and are trying to work to get to as well.
That though definitely stood out of what a grade of a free agent you're looking for.
Steve Geller, Mark Menard, Christian Garrick here as we wrap up our Draft Fest coverage, our recap draft mashup, and it's been a fun 3 hours and an interesting 3 days, in particular with the Saints' sixth member draft class and the undrafted free agents. And I think we've all, if there's a consensus we might have, is that perhaps there was a little bit too much Peyton Turner negative reaction.
Definitely too much negativity, I would say, just because of the unknown, I guess, that people weren't expecting him to go in the first round, but and Mickey and Sean, I trust. I'm sorry.
I said it earlier. I'm not going to bang on a kid before he even gets on the field. We got to give him a shot.
Good job, fellas. Pleasure to be with you for the last 3 hours. David Potter, Master Control, thanks for your help. I'm Christian Garrick, Semper Fi. I'm out.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.